This is the Wonder Health Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter, and each Sunday I am so excited to talk to game changers, transformational leaders, and functional health and wellness experts who inspire us to light up our lives so that we can go out and light up this world. You may find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U. Wonder Health presents Gut Check Summit, the legit guide to how your gut health affects everything, April the 6th, 2019 in Fort Collins, Colorado. From now until February the 15th, take part in the early bird special of $169. You may register and learn more at wonderhealth.com, and that is Wonder with a U. Hello, this is Andrea Ritter, and welcome to the Wonder Health Podcast. Today, our very, very special and amazing guest is Leslie Nance.
Hi.
And Penny Lane, who is my twin sister as a dog. She's a poodle, and her hair is a little bit lighter than mine, but she's pretty amazing. Thank you so much for letting me come into your world and get in your business.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and thank you for coming to my world.
Yay. So Leslie has many things. Do they call them radio personalities? Is that still?
I don't know, but I like that. So let's use that.
She's a radio personality.
Yes.
And you don't call yourself a cancer survivor, do you?
No, I'm a survivor.
You're a survivor. Oh, you are a survivor.
Yeah,
I like it.
I survived cancer.
She's a survivor.
Yeah.
And now she's going to tell us a little bit about her journey before she survived and then how that is launched into your new business. What is the name of it?
So the new business is called Any Stage Cancer Nutrition Protocol.
This is super cool because as you said, when we were chatting before, like you could throw a stone and hit someone who has cancer or has been affected by cancer in some way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when I have an audience and I ask people in the audience, raise your hand if you've been touched by cancer, either personally or someone in your life, everybody will raise their hand. It doesn't matter if it's 200 people or 10,000 people, everybody will raise their hand. And I think the new statistic is 40% of adults will be diagnosed with cancer in 2019.
That is insane.
Yes. And unacceptable, really.
That is completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone yesterday told me that the reason why people are not getting well is because we are contaminated.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. We don't have to really get too philosophical about that, but I was like, that is an interesting thought. I don't know what I think about that because it kind of makes, let's not talk about it, but it makes me feel like powerless and right. I don't like that feeling. Right. So I don't know that I can adopt that. But I think that, you know, food for thought.
Yeah. Well, I think it does leave a little bit of hopelessness there. Like you can't do anything about it,
yeah.
Which I also think is a fallacy because if we're feeding our body correctly with the right nutrition, with the right mindset, I'm not talking about just feeding the physical body, but feeding the mental body,
yes,
as well. The spiritual body, all of those parts of us, if we're feeding those correctly, it makes us more resistant to the toxins that we can't control. And so a little bit of hopelessness, but also in the same vein saying, but I'm a warrior, I'm a defender, and I trust my body to be defensible against those toxins that I can't control, like the air and the water.
Oh, that.
You know, just those basic things that you need for survival. But
yeah, we're on the planet. Shoot. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of actually, like I now I'm talking about it because I kind of was like in a pissy mood after I like just like energetically like that felt really just like a negative coagulation,
right,
of like, oh crap, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
So I don't like that notion. And so I love that you'll talk to us more about that. Mm-hmm. So talk to me, start with what you said earlier about, you know, being in a doctor's office and finding out what was going on with your body.
So 6-year cancer survivor. In fact, my anniversary is coming up in 4 days.
Amen.
Yeah. So 6 years. crossed the 5-year threshold and my reoccurrence rate dropped by 50%. So that was a big celebration. But yes, every year I get away from that, the lower that reoccurrence rate gets, which was pretty high, 70% reoccurrence rate, that the cancer would show up somewhere else in my body. So after many doctors, we talked about, I fired a couple of doctors, but we won't go there, but fired some doctors and then landed on a doctor that resonated with me. And I think that that's an important lesson, actually, if you're facing an illness, either temporary or long-term, that you should be in control of your doctors. They don't control you. They are part of your team, but they don't control the situation. You're always in control of that situation. You're not jiving with the doctor. You don't like what they're saying. Find a new doctor.
And you feel that. So why accept
exactly
less than perfection?
Yeah. And it's your body. I mean, so find the right doctor.
It's your life. Yes.
It's your life. And so I found the right doctor, and her name was Dr. Brown, and she was amazing. I talked about her like she's dead. She just doesn't live here anymore. So
before she went to the other side.
Yeah. No, she's actually a cancer survivor. As well. And I was debating chemotherapy. If I did chemotherapy, it didn't increase my odds much for survival.
Okay.
Or reoccurrence, I guess. It was a very small percentage, less than 15%, that it was going to move that dial, that the cancer would not come back. And so it seemed like a lot to go through for such a minimal advancement in my life. And so I was saying no to chemotherapy, and I'm so scared to tell her, although I loved her, went to her office one day and said, okay, I've made a decision. I'm not doing chemotherapy. And she looked me right in my eyes and she said, well, if you're not going to do chemotherapy, what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean? Leslie, your body created cancer. What are you going to do about it? And right there, instantly, I had a moment of clarity that said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. She said, well, I'm going to give you some names of some naturopathic doctors, some functional medicine doctors, some integrative doctors, and you pick one and you go see them and talk to them about nutrition, your mindset, all those things, chemotherapy, talk to them about all those things. And I was like, wow. Now that is the difference between a technician and a healer.
That's really powerful for her to say.
Yeah.
Go on your journey.
Yeah.
And still be a part of your journey.
Yes, absolutely. And not kick me out the door and say,
well,
I can't help you. Yeah.
Right.
And because she didn't, she saw me, she saw me throughout my journey, all the way through my surgery, all the way through my radiation treatments, everything. She kept me in her arms of care.
So you opted out of chemo, but you still did radiation.
I did. You know, somebody asked me that question the other day. They were like, why would you not do one toxic thing, but do another toxic thing? And that, I thought that was a really interesting question. No one had ever asked me that before. Mm-hmm. And I said, the honest answer is, I knew that I could detox the radiation out of my body and it was less invasive, than the chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And although I had clear margins, there was one suspect area where they didn't feel like they got enough tissue because it was too close to the skin and that the radiation would benefit that. And so I sailed through radiation though, with nutrition and diet and exercise and mindset. I never even skipped a beat. I was in Zumba. I went to Zumba class my last day of radiation. I was in Zumba that night. And so never even like skipped a beat through radiation. So
I plan on never getting cancer.
Absolutely.
And, I never want to have radiation and I probably will still be unable to go to Zumba because I cannot. I cannot follow along with the dance. So the fact that you had radiation and Zumba is like, I mean, I always thought you were fabulous, but now you've taken it to the next level.
Well, so Zumba was like my jive for quite a while, for about 5 years. That was like my total jam. That's what I wanted to do was like, I was like Zumba. I thought about becoming an instructor. I loved it so much.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, but I do something different now because my Zumba instructor is actually retired. And so, you can't go back after her. So it's, there's not another one like her. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, but I did. I was at work the next day after surgery. I had a lumpectomy. I mean,
wow.
My body was so physically ready for, and I made it that way. I prepared it for that, what was going to happen to it. And so just had a lumpectomy also, did not have a double like they wanted me to have. So these are my boobs, just saying.
So, well, they're very nice. So why did you choose no chemo? And it seems like you knew, like, I'm not doing this. This is, and totally your preference.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to say too, because this is not about chemo shaming. This
Absolutely.
Isn't about you have chosen chemo and I didn't. And I'm saying, oh, well, you're bad because you chose it. It was just my path. It's what I chose.
Yeah.
I work with people every day that choose chemotherapy.
Yes.
There's a lot to be done physically in the body, you know, even while you're doing chemotherapy to keep you nice and strong. But, so crazy. The night before I found the lump in my breast, we were with our best friends and they had a brother-in-law who was going through cancer and he was not doing well at all. And he was doing chemotherapy. And I said to the table, there was like 10 of us sitting there. And I said to the table, if I ever had cancer, I would never do chemotherapy.
And shut up.
The next morning I found the
you
lump.
You lie.
No. And so, oh my gosh, like I wanted to just like eat my words. Like right then, as soon as I found the lump, I knew what it was. I just knew what it was. And I just wanted to like eat all my words because it's the first thing I thought of was, oh my God, I just said last night, you know? So, but I think that was something deep inside of me that said, you know, I feared cancer a lot throughout my life, through a whole nother story. But anyway, I feared it a lot. And I had dreams about telling my parents that I had breast cancer.
Before you ever got it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that gives me the chills.
Yeah, so crazy, like crazy notes. So I think I always knew that I, down deep, that I would not do chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it took me a couple of months to make that decision. I didn't make it quickly. I took some time, went on vacation, sat on the beach for a couple of hours every day to decide what I wanted to do with my body. And always knowing that I was fully in control and that no one could talk me into something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so it just wasn't going to help a lot. If they were going to tell me I could go from 70% reoccurrence to, you know, 10% reoccurrence.
Right.
Let's do it. Let's start it right now. But they couldn't tell me that.
And you were married to Robin at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what was his take? Like, because some people have partners who are like when my mother-in-law got breast cancer, I think it was like never a question in life from her family's perspective.
But right.
And, you know, God love her. I don't know if she actually wanted to go through with chemo, but like everyone else thought she should.
Yeah. So it's actually what I teach people to have these conversations when you're making a choice. Cause some people have families that don't want you to do chemotherapy.
Okay.
And then you need to tell them you are. And so
yeah.
How do you have these conversations
yeah.
and still get the support, not the anger and the hatred and
yeah.
the frustration that comes along with that. And so I actually teach people, this afternoon, I taught somebody how to have this conversation
wow.
with her family. Because she had decided against, and now she's decided she's going to do chemo, and nobody's happy about it, and except her. So,
and it's so
yeah.
personal.
It is. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Such a personal choice. My entire family was holding their breath that I would not do chemotherapy.
Mm. And you're an only child, P.S. So your parents were like probably beside themselves.
They are. They were actually. Actually, my dad was so calm, it pissed me off. He was like totally calm. And I was like, you know, I have cancer, right? And he was like, you're going to be fine. I was like, you don't know that. I mean, I was.
But he had
totally
to do that so that he didn't freak out.
Actually,
right?
I think he was fully convinced that I was going to be fine and that it served a purpose in my life if I was going to let it. That's just kind of how my dad was.
Love your dad,
no,
Gary.
Just, yeah, he's amazing that way. So anyway, but my husband, when I told him that I wasn't going to do, I came in from the beach one afternoon. He was in making lunch at the house that we were in Hawaii. And, I came in from
That's
the
a
beach.
Good cancer pre,
oh, yeah.
Pre chemo or not chemo
yeah.
trip.
Go make up your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, I believe that the ocean is so healing. I
yes.
need to go talk to her to tell me what I need
yes.
to do. It sounds woo woo, but it's true. So
that is a different podcast, but I believe the same.
Yes.
My soul is in that water.
Yeah. She needed to tell me, help me out a little bit. So,
yeah.
So, I was watching these 50-foot waves crash about 100 feet offshore and the North Shore of Oahu because it's winter and big swells come in and there's surfers everywhere. And I was thinking about the energy from those waves and how powerful they were. And I was thinking, you know, I'm one with this planet. I belong here. I'm here. So I must belong here. And that energy is within me as well. how do you harness that? You know, what do you do?
I love that.
Anyway, and so I came in from the house. I walked up. You had to walk up this long, like Long Beach, like little walk thing up to the, climb these stairs, go into the house. And I'll never forget that walk. It's like the walk on Dirty Dancing when baby goes up to, you know, do the, it's the same impression. Like it's, your life is about to change, right? Yeah. Same impression I had. In fact, I kind of giggled at myself thinking about that. But I walk into the house. It's this beautiful house and it's so Hawaiian. And Robin was making lunch. And I said, can you stop what you're doing for just a second? And he said, yeah. And he turned around and looked at me and he knew that there had been a change, like there had been a shift. And I said, I'm not doing chemo. And he's like, oh, thank God. Okay. I am so glad. Can we just go on with our vacation now? I mean, okay. I'm so glad. Now, when I told him I was going to do radiation, we had a little bit of a discussion about that because he didn't want me to do that either. But I felt strongly that I wanted to do that. And so, yeah, I wouldn't do it again, but.
Yeah. But you do what you do and you don't know otherwise.
Yeah. No regrets for doing it, but I wouldn't do it again. I'll just put it that way.
So how did having cancer change your life?
Oh God.
How didn't it change your life?
Right. I mean, I know, honestly, that'd be an easier question.
Cause like you are where you are when we'll get to that, what you do every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, had you not gone through this journey, there's probably little chance that you'd be helping people in their process.
There'd
with
be
cancer.
No chance. There'd be absolutely no chance that I'd be doing what I'm doing today without that particular journey in my life. It changed everything. And it's funny because when I found the lump, I looked at Robin and it was an intimate situation. I looked at him and I said, Robin's my husband, by the way. I looked at him and I said, if this is what I think it is, it's going to change our lives forever. What I meant, oh, that'll make me cry. Now, what I meant is that it was going to be bad. That in that moment, to me, it meant something bad, but it was prophetic in the way that it was so true. Our lives have changed completely because of that little tiny lump. That little lump in the road has made all the difference in the world in our lives. And so, and other people's lives. And I had a client or a community member the other day say to me, you know, your cancer is didn't just change your life. It's going to change millions of people's lives.
Amen.
And I believe her when she says that. And so it's such a powerful notion, but it created a spark in me that wanted to give it purpose. You know, how do you give this journey purpose? You've learned so much about yourself. You changed so much, so many things like evolved. Like you went from this, I call her cynical Barbie. You went from cynical Barbie to this like a woman, like in 2 months, like you change from this, like almost childlike behavior of, you know, living in this world of fantasy, almost of this perfect life that I had created for myself and with my husband, and cancer threw a wrench right in the middle of that, busted the whole thing up. And I never went to pick up the pieces. I just let them lay there and kind of like started over and said, this is something different. Everything went into perspective. Like my whole life, it was like everything like lined up and started perspective, like this beautiful thing. And, I lost friends over it because they were the cynical Barbies. And
yeah, they didn't know who you were anymore and they didn't want you to change.
No. And it was sad to them that I had this change and this switch in my life. And not just eating, but mental and just everything, you know, I just wasn't into those bad behaviors anymore that I was into before. And mostly mindset. Anyway, and so that all changed. And then, I became a plant-based chef so that I could start a food blog and started that and worked on that for many years, did a cooking show for many years.
Now, did you become plant-based solely or did you eat meat when you were?
No, I'm not 100% plant-based. I never have been. I eat, you know, I probably eat 95% plant-based and then everything else, meat, dairy. I know I eat dairy. Oh my God.
Girl, I'm sure the source is good.
It is good. It's a good source.
It's a good source. Well, yeah. You're fine.
Yes, absolutely. So, meat, dairy, grains in the 5% category. But plants otherwise, I know greens are plants, but anyway. So, but that switched, went from a very picky eater to being a foodie. Can't believe it. Actually, some days I'm still like, really, you'll eat that? You will eat that. You love that, in fact. So that has been quite a switch, teaching my body how to eat different types of foods. And then just the mental switch of really giving this journey purpose. What do you make of this? You learn so much about yourself. How do you teach other people about what you've learned? And just not being able to like turn that light off. Like every time I would even think about doing something different, you know, like, or giving up, like the light wouldn't go off. It was just not going to go off. And so, yeah. And so became a certified holistic cancer coach, certified holistic nutritionist, plant-based chef, and using all those skills to help other people through their cancer journey. It's a massive switch in my life. And the funny thing is that when I was before cancer, I used to think about cancer in such a scary way. Mm-hmm. And I would think, how do doctors do that? How do doctors work with cancer patients every day? I mean, that just must be so hard and so stressful. And now I work with cancer patients every day and they're amazing people.
And why? So why? Because you certainly have done so many aspects,
right?
Or of this journey, and you know, you could be a nutritionist, you could have continued with your food show and doing all that, and this took hold of you in the last year, and you have to do it.
Have to.
So, what happened, and why are you doing this? Because it is a real journey to be with people in that process and hold their hands.
Well, I mean, the good thing about what I do is that I'm not a doctor. People are like, well, you're not a doctor. And they kind of scowl at that. I'm like, I know, isn't it awesome? I'm not a doctor. So I can actually give you some hope. I can actually tell you about people who have survived the thing that you're going through right now. I can tell you that you can make it through chemo. We can make your body inhospitable to cancer with nutrition and mindset. We can do that sort of thing. And I'm here to like cheer you on throughout it, not only guide you. I like to say that, you know, most people have all the equipment to climb Mount Everest, and I have the map. So you bring your equipment, I've got the map, let's go together.
Love it.
We're going to get to the top of Everest.
Yes.
And so, you know, and it's a partnership that way. But it's so different working with people that have cancer because their perspective is so different. Mm-hmm. Their life is in perspective because when you're faced with a life-threatening illness, and that's what cancer is, not the most benign type of cancer. That's an oxymoron. That won't happen. The most, the
lightest form.
Yes.
Like the tiniest bit.
Yes. It still can be life-threatening. And so, but because of that fear and that craziness that happens in your life, you have this perspective that is undeniable. And if you can have somebody to help you form that perspective, it's going to change your life. If you let it, it will, and in a good way. Your life will never be the same again in a good way. If you allow it, if you allow the lessons of cancer to happen.
So do people get cancer for these life changing lessons? I mean, is that the purpose? What, I mean, I know that's a big question, but it's like, you know, why is this happening to so many people? And is it also that we can have this transformation, or?
I think it goes a little bit back to what you said earlier about the toxins and what we're exposed to. If you're not paying attention, you're bombarded every single day. If you're eating a standard American diet, if you're eating off the shelves of the grocery store in boxes and cans and jars and pouches and packages and bottles and all those things, you are lowering your defenses every time you put that into your mouth and into your body. I'm a perfect example of that. You know, I believe that cancer was my blessing. Was I given cancer on purpose? No, maybe. Maybe it's just needed to be part of my life. I don't know if that's what happens. I do know what I did to let my defenses down and let cancer sneak in the back door. I do know hindsight 2020 that I had symptoms that I was ignoring, that I was just sloughing off to being normal You know, I'm getting older. I was 42 when I was diagnosed. I'm 48 now. You know,
you are not 48.
I am 48.
Shut your mouth, yes. Girl. You look good.
Thank you. It's all that healthy eating.
Yeah. I mean, you got the high pro left.
Yeah. But I can't remember what I was saying.
Because I told you you're cute.
I know. And I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'm like, yes. So you saw, like, you ignored some signs.
Oh, yes.
You ignored some signs.
So I was ignoring some signs in my life. You know, irregular periods. I just had, that's just normal. I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Heavy, then light, and then nothing. And then, you know, and then 2 months of nothing. And, you know, acne and, you know, just sluggishness, headaches, like these random headaches out of nowhere.
Oh.
And they would last for like a day, like nothing would get rid of them. And just, you know, not that healthy glow, quite frankly, like having to paint that on if I wanted it to look like that. Just, you know, mostly in my skin and just erratic periods and sex drive all over the place. And, you know, some days it's, you know, ferocious and some days it's non-existent and it didn't have to do with what was going on in the situation.
Yeah.
It just was ever changing. And so, so a lot of inconsistencies in my life. And I just thought that that was just normal,
right?
You know, like that was just part of getting older or whatever. Cause we're kind of trained that way.
Yeah.
You know, that your hormones are all over the place.
Yeah. It's our hormones.
And
yeah.
You're going to be fine. Blah, 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 and then boom, you have cancer. And so, and I was quite young for the type of cancer that I have. I had an old lady's cancer, quite frankly.
You're an old soul.
Yeah. So, I always joke about that. Even with my current clients that are older, I'm like, yeah, I had old lady's cancer. I'm like, you did. I was like, I know. So kind of a rare cancer for my age. But anyway, it was just, I had a lot of symptoms and signs. And then I had this, after I didn't have them anymore, I was like, whoa. So this is what it's like. Well, one of the big things I had was constipation, like that's TMI, but chronic constipation my entire life.
Boy.
And so when I finally learned what it was like to be like a normal person and go to the bathroom every day, I was like, this is amazing. No wonder you people feel so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it changed my life. Just that one thing changed my life. And I always thought I was healthy, right? I mean, I was active. I was fairly thin, and I always equated being thin with being healthy, which is such BS. I thought I was doing okay. And then when I got cancer, I was like, I'm like the healthiest person I know.
Oh.
You know, but I wasn't. I was eating terribly. I thought I was eating pretty well, and I was eating terribly. I was the Splenda queen, you know, a sweet tea. I ditched sodas. I was like, yay, I ditched sodas, yay me. And then I started drinking sweet tea because I'm from the South and from Texas. And we drink
sweet
tea.
You guys have to drink it.
No, yeah. It's like intravenous. You have to get it or you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I didn't want the sugar. So then I started using Splenda, and I was drinking like a gallon of sweet tea a day with like a cup of Splenda every day. Well, hello. So I let all my guards down and my body was very hospitable to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that all of us have the opportunity to, or not to make cancer, or allow cancer to happen. And when your guards are up and you're defensible and you're inhospitable to it, then it's not going to happen. And if you aren't, then it's possible it could happen. And we all know people that are super healthy that get cancer. And we all know people that are super unhealthy that never get cancer.
Yeah, I know.
So it's sometimes that mindset plays a role. I mean, there's so many factors.
Right. Genetics, environment, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hello, stress cadet. That was me. Level 9.
And stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you do for the folks that you're working with who are actually in the process of cancer?
Yeah. So, I have a very different approach. There's a lot of one size fits all diets out there right now. You know, I won't name names, but there are a lot of people that have a cancer cure diet out there right now. If you do this, you won't have cancer. And it's going to work for some people. Of course it is. For some people, it's going to work wonderfully. And for some people, they're going to get sicker. And some people, it's not going to do anything. And so So I decided that it was really important to work with people one-on-one and to hear their about their cancer story and what kind of cancer they have and what kinds of treatments that they're going through. Have they had cancer before? What's your lifestyle like? Do you even eat vegetables? I mean, you know, so really digging in and doing some detective work into their life that where I can formulate a diet that's specific for them so that they do not have to guess if juicing is right for them or not.
That is huge.
It's huge.
So are you looking at, or are you having them go through testing to kind of see where, what their baseline is, even though there's that imbalance with cancer?
Right.
You know, to help them determine.
I do recommend that they see a naturopath or someone that can perform that testing because I'm not a clinician. I can't do that personally. There are some tests that you can do kind of through the internet now. There's a couple of companies that you can actually do blood tests and get the results yourself. Sometimes I point people in that direction. Sometimes you just know. Like intuition tells you. This is what's going on.
Or if they lay everything out, you're like, oh, and you're stressed and so-and-so just died or whatever the story is. Like you can.
And so we work on mindset. We work on reducing fear. If somebody is terrified, that's the first thing we tackle. We don't even think about nutrition until we have fear under control.
Why is that?
Fear is lowers your immunity. So as there's a study out that says, as soon as you hear the word cancer with your name pointed at you, you know, like you're the host of the cancer, that your immune function drops by 50%.
Shut your mouth.
So you can imagine if you stay in that spiral of fear, what's happening in your body. And so when your immune system is lowered for any reason, virus, anything, bacteria, you know, fear, stress, whatever it is, any of those chronic conditions that you live in and you lower that immunity, you leave the door open for cancer. And so cancer, everybody's known somebody that they were told, you know, like on a Tuesday that they have cancer and they were gone the next Wednesday or, you know, like a week later, you know, they were just gone. They were, that's what happens when fear takes over. When people have a diagnosis and the doctor says, oh, you have 6 months to live. And then they end up dying in 6 months, like almost to the day, like on the nose. That's when fear takes over.
I've heard, Michael Beckwith was talking about, or maybe someone at the Agape, International Spiritual Center, they were talking about like how it should be against the law to give diagnoses. Is that the correct English?
Yes.
you know, because people, you are not your diagnosis.
No.
And, but the general public, which is why you and I are both doing what we're doing, is to educate people. I don't know shit, let's be real, but what I do know is how to be create a space to give people information. Because if you know, if you have the knowledge, that gives you power to make these changes, but people believe hook, line, and sinker what they're being told. And, you know, we love Western medicine. We're thankful for it.
Absolutely.
Not every naturopath is going to know what's going on, you know, like, so this is not like a political thing of Republicans and Democrats, everybody crazy.
Right.
So it's like, you know, but it's just this whole notion that like what you believe persists, right?
That's right. And we perceive our doctors as the authority. And so as if they say that you're going to die in 6 months, then they're the authority and we take it as the gospel. And so many people, this happens to so many people. So it's so important that we grab hold of that by the tail immediately.
No thanks.
Yeah. And I always joke with people, like some of the first conversations I have with people in our initial conversation is, I want you to take off your shoes right now. And I want you to look at the bottom of their feet, at the bottom of your feet. And they're like, okay, what have I gotten myself into? This woman is nuts. And so, so most everybody will do it. And some people ask why. I have people that are like, why? And I'm like, just trust me, you know? And so they take off their shoes and they look at the bottom of their feet. And I'm like, tell me what you see. And they're like, the bottom of my, no, what am I looking for? I'm like, you don't see like an expiration date or anything. There's no like numbers that say when you're going to die or anything. And they're like, and it just hits them like, you're right. I don't have an expiration date. And whether you have cancer or not, a meteor could fall through the roof right now and kill both of us.
Yeah.
We're not promised another single second, despite cancer, with cancer, without cancer, healthy, not healthy, whatever. None of us are. And so I always tell people it's probably more dangerous to drive down the freeway that's in your city than the cancer that you have.
Yeah.
It's probably more deadly to do that than the cancer you have in your body right now. And so just framing those perspectives of, you know, you don't have an expiration date. What's the real danger here? You know, you have trillions of healthy cells.
Yes.
And you have very few cancerous cells. So let's empower those healthy cells.
I love this.
You know,
knowledge is power.
Yes. And so getting people out of that spiral is always my number
one. I love that
goal. Then we can work on nutrition. Then we can work on what comes next, finding the power in those healthy cells, you know, promoting good mitochondria so that we don't have, you know, so that the cancer cells can't take over and proliferate, and, you know, training our body what to do. We can do that with nutrition. We can do that with mindset. We can tell our body what we expect, you know, of it. And a lot of times it will obey. I mean, we're hardwired that way. It's just like scratching your head. I mean, you know, you're telling your hand to scratch your head, your brain. Well, we can do that with other parts of our body as well, asking it to line up, to be whole, to be healed, you know, and empowering people to do that. It's a very real thing in combination with Western medicine.
Yes.
In combination with what we've been taught about medicine as human beings and how we can help people. You know, do I think that chemo's right for everybody? Nope. Do I think it's wrong for everybody? Nope. Do I think everybody should be juicing 64 ounces a day? Nope. Do I think some people should? Yep. I mean, but that's where you get all the differences.
Yes.
And it's helping that person decide what's next for them. You know, I can't tell them what to do, but I can help them make a decision. I can help them decide and guide them to making a good decision that they're comfortable with. So yeah, that's what I do for a living.
Well, that sounds like you. It doesn't sound like you're very busy.
I know. No, it's fine. actually, it is fine. It's amazing work. I love instilling hope and motivating people to think differently about the darkest days of their lives.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
And cancer gave me that.
What a gift!
I know. I can't imagine life without it. I would never take it back. Not one second. Ever. Never.
I love this. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your time. I know you are a busy lady because you're helping these folks and you're also doing your radio show
tomorrow morning.
Who's on your show tomorrow?
Nobody tomorrow. But we do have Dr. Grace Alessi coming up
on the
22nd. So
excited. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
She's talking about, we are talking about thyroid. So,
oh, that's great.
I know. I'm super excited.
That'll be awesome. Well, thank you for sharing yourself
with us.
This is such a gift. And so people will be able to see you at the Gut Check Summit, sharing and shining your light. So yay.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, thanks for reaching out over Facebook, because you have been just such a joy, and I love that this is just the beginning of you helping people realize that they can live freely.
You're doing this as well. You're giving people like me a platform to stand on and a voice. And we're all very appreciative of that. So thank you for what you do for the community and helping the health community, but also helping the public community as well and their health situations. So,
wow. Shri, my friend.
Yes.
Takes one to know one.
That's right. We did that, didn't we?
We did do that. This is Andrea Ritter and our guest, Leslie Nance. Where can people find you?
So the main website is gotokitchens.com, gotokitchens.com. And every Saturday morning on 1310 KFKA at 9 a.m., Fork It Over Radio.
Fork it over.
Hey, you're going to be a guest at the beginning of the year, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to fork it over.
We're going to fork it over.
Love it. Thanks for joining.